Today is the final Sunday in our Easter series we've called Good News. And as we celebrate the Ascension today, we remember that we have learned over the past several weeks that if your version of the faith isn't good news for all people, then maybe it's not the faith that Jesus wants you to have. Moreover, the good news of great joy for all people is that Jesus was the perfect image of God, and he gave us a new way to know God and to understand God's love. We've learned that this means that people wanted to know more about the good news, and that the good news was so good that the forgiveness of sin was announced ahead of time. We realize that your past doesn't matter, because not only does Jesus want to forgive and to heal you, he wants to be with you, and he wants to transform you from the inside out. But not only that, we learn that Jesus wants us to follow him and to be with him, and he wants to help us live into the reality of the kingdom of God. It has become obvious that this was good news way back then. Yet the question remains, is it still good news today? Right here, right now. Let's find out. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Our scripture reading today is verses 14 and then 22 through 32. Please follow along as we hear the good news. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words." And then down to verse 22, he goes on saying, "Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man whose credentials God proved to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him among you. You yourselves know this. In accordance with God's established plan and foreknowledge, he was betrayed. You, with the help of wicked men, had Jesus killed by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him up. God freed him from death's dreadful grip, since it was impossible for death to hang on to him. David says about him, 'I foresaw that the Lord was always with me, because he is at my right hand. I won't be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my body will live in hope, because you won't abandon me to the grave, nor permit your Holy One to experience decay. You have shown me the paths of life. Your presence will fill me with happiness.' Brothers and sisters, I can speak confidently about the patriarch David. He died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this very day. Because he was a prophet, he knew that God promised him with a solemn pledge to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Having seen this beforehand, David spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he wasn't abandoned to the grave, nor did his body experience decay. This Jesus God raised up, and we are all witnesses to that fact. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, in light of the reality of your resurrection, help us to experience the fullness of the gospel, the fullness of the good news of great joy for all people that you gave us so long ago. And make it good news for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. For 40 days following his resurrection, Jesus continued to show himself to his disciples and to his closest followers. And he spent time with those who stuck by his side, explaining the scriptures and opening their minds to how he was the fulfillment of God's redemption plan. That he was supposed to suffer and die, and then rise on the third day, so that all people may have a change of heart and a change of life, a true life transformation. Basically, he laid out for them the good news of great joy for all people. And then he blessed them and sent them out as apostles to do the work that he had sent them to do just before he ascended into heaven. And when the time came, about a week later, God sent the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon the followers of Jesus, Peter gets up to speak and he says, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words." Now, he's no longer speaking to just the Jews. He's speaking to everyone. And to me, that's everyone back then and even everyone today, right here. And he's proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the one we've been waiting for. Not just for those who were waiting for a Messiah, but for everyone ever who has been waiting for something better. Someone to help them. Someone to make a difference. For the day when life would be different. When life would matter. When you and I and then all of us in here and everyone out there, when we would have purpose. We'd have meaning. We'd have something that was greater than us that we could be a part of. And something that we could do that would make a real difference in this life. And the people heard it, and they responded, and they believed in the good news. One of those times, for example, was in Acts chapter 16, when one day the apostles are out in the community, and they're sharing the gospel, and they get arrested. What happened is, while they were sharing the gospel, they encounter a woman who is possessed, and they free her, they rescue her from this demonic oppression and from the men who were exploiting her. And those men who owned her as a slave, they didn't like this. And so they complained to the authorities that the apostles were causing trouble. And the apostles are arrested. And they're stripped. And they're beaten. And they're thrown into jail. And then they're shackled to the floor of the innermost cell so that there's no way that they can move around and no way to escape. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like good news to me. Probably doesn't sound like anything good to anyone. I mean, how would you respond if you were in their shoes? Yet hear what they did. After they're beaten and stripped and shackled and imprisoned, they start singing praises to God. Prayers and hymns, that was their response. And when they praised God in the middle of their circumstance, when they trusted God to do something good, they once again experienced the power of God. And while they're praising God, something crazy happens. Suddenly, the ground starts shaking, the walls start quaking, the chains start breaking, and I don't know, I ran out of words because I couldn't think of a word that rhymed with door swinging open. But all the prisoners are set free when the doors swing open. And the jailer who was there, who's been given charge over all of the prisoners and specifically just told to keep an eye on these apostles, he fears that all the prisoners have escaped. And rather than face the shame and the wrath of failure, he grabs his sword and he prepares to take his own life. And that's when Paul shouts out, "Stop! Don't harm yourself. We're still here. In fact, we've got good news for you. There's no reason to take your life. There's no reason to take any life anymore because there's someone who's already given his life for us. And that's good news. He gave his life for all of us. And that's good news. And the jailer hears this and he says, "What must I do?" And that's when the apostles replied, "Believe in Jesus," meaning trust in him as the one who is there for you, as the one who will order your life, as the one who will give you purpose, as the one who will give you peace, as the one who has true and powerful purpose for you. And he loves you more than you know. And that night, the jailer brought the apostles to his house, brought him home with him, and he tended to their wounds, and he fed them dinner. And then the jailer and the whole family were baptized. And everyone was filled with joy because the jailer and his whole family and all those who were there with him believed in God. Because they realized, and he realized, that he didn't have to participate in the systems of violence of the Roman world. He realized he didn't have to submit himself to the powers and the principalities that are void of grace and love. He realized that he could be better and he could do better. And through this and through other events, the message of Christ, the good news, spread like wildfire throughout Jerusalem, far and wide across the empire, and even around the world. And eventually, it even changed the empire. And then the good news changed the world. Yes, something happened. Somewhere along the way, we lost our affection for Jesus. We surrendered our commitment to mercy, love, and grace, and we exchanged the kingdom values for worldly values. And we took up our ancient love of violence and our inclination for revenge. And I'm afraid I'm about to offend some of us. Yet that's not my intention. My hope is that we consider how the good news of Jesus Christ leads us to be different in a world that needs good news. And we wonder, and the world wonders, is there still good news today? See, in a day and age where a young man shoots his grandmother, then proceeds to kill 2 teenagers and 19 elementary age children, we wonder. In a day and age when gun violence is the number one cause of death for children in our country, we wonder. In a day where first world nations ignore critical health crises in third world nations until the disease is spread across their borders, we wonder. In a world where partisan party politics ruins families, friendships, and even faith communities, we wonder. We wonder. Is there any good news when we live in a world that seems so void of hope and so overwhelmed by sorrow and sadness? If this is you, if you're overwhelmed by sorrow and sadness, I want you to know something. It's okay to feel sorrow and sadness. It's okay to sit with that sorrow and sadness for a season. Yet it's what you do with that sadness that matters. Because you can use it to make things better. You can use it to motivate yourself to be better and to do better. You can use it to prevent future events of sorrow and sadness. That through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus demonstrated the grace and the love of God. And while his death was a moment of sorrow and sadness, he didn't stay there. He rose from the grave. He rose from death. He rose to new life. He rose and defeated sin, proving that sorrow and sadness don't have the last word. He rose so that we could be raised, so that I could be raised, so that you could be raised to new life. He rose so that in our new life, we could follow him. And when he ascended, he charged us, me and you, with the responsibility and the power that we take up his mantle of grace and mercy and justice and peace so that we can make life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. The question lingers. Is the good news still good news today, right here and right now? Friends, it was good news back then. I'm telling you, it is still good news today. It's still good news right here. It's still good news right now. Personally, I'm only here because of the grace of God. Yet I think of Ken, my stepdad. In his early 20s, his marriage fell apart and he experienced shame instead of help at the hands of his church. And after going through a nasty divorce, instead of finding consolation in a faith community, he found his only consolation in the bottle. And he wrestled with that for the rest of his life. Yet as time went on, he grew to hate the church. He was actually saddened when I entered into ministry. Yet to honor me, he would attend church when he and my mother would come and visit. And through those visits, he began to experience a new kind of faith community than the one he knew earlier. He experienced a faith community that was more merciful than judgmental, more grace-filled than shame-filled, more loving than unloving. And over the years, those walls began to crumble, and his shackles began to break. And Ken discovered that the doorways to the kingdom of God were still open to him. And eventually he gave his life back to Christ. And when his body began to fail, he was ready to experience the resurrection. He experienced the good news. Sisters and brothers, God is still shaking walls and shaking things up in this world that wants to try to hold us back and trap us and keep us down from being who God created us to be. And he still sets people free from whatever prisons that they're trapped in. Whatever prison you're trapped in, he will set you free. And he sets people free from having to maintain those prisons and from even locking others up in shame and sorrow. And he still is setting people free from the necessity of violence, hate, and revenge. He still sets us free. And that's good news. God is still working in me and in you. God is still working all around you. And God is still working through you. And this is your opportunity to exhibit good news, not just here, but out there. And everywhere that we go, so that those who need to know the good news can find the good news through us, through me, and through you. So may we bear this good news. May we take it with us so that those who need the good news will hear it, will see it, will experience it through each of us, and that they will know that God is still here and that God is for them. Amen?